Sunrise Morning Show continues. I'm Matt Swaim. Joining me this morning is Monsignor Charles Pope. He's a pastor from Washington, D.C., and also writes columns for their diocesan, archdiocesan newspaper. Monsignor Pope, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you wrote a piece a while back about some of the ways that Catholic preaching can be improved. Now, first of all, if we're really at the Mass to receive the sacraments, why should we worry about what goes on at the homily?
Well, I think, obviously, the Word of God sets the basis for our spiritual preparation, you know, to receive the Holy Communion. We need to constantly grow in our faith and be informed more fully about what the Lord Jesus is teaching us in the written Word that we celebrate in the whole first half of the liturgy. So obviously there's a connection.
Absolutely. Now, evangelicals are experts at the art of preaching. Of course, without the sacraments, they kind of have to be. But is there anything that we can learn from them about how to better communicate the gospel from the pulpit?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've talked to a number of Catholics, you know, who have left the church and have gone to the evangelical church. And again, it's a great sadness that we haven't been able to better communicate, you know, the beauty of the Holy Eucharist and the communion that we obviously have in the Catholic Church. So there's clearly a failure to properly teach, but still, I think that doesn't mean we can completely dismiss, though, the thought that they have. You know, when I go to these churches, they're really teaching me the Bible. I really feel that people have a hunger for God's Word. And I think what the evangelicals do really well is they really stay with the text, and they really preach out of the biblical text. They're very creative. And I think, first of all, they just spend more time with the Word of God. Now, I think sometimes the format of our Catholic Masses is, you know, sort of expected to have about a 7 to 10 minute sermon, which sometimes isn't enough. Now, I just happen to be privileged to be in an African American community. I've been in the African American community, I guess, for about 15 years of my priesthood, and we have longer liturgies, and I'm expected to preach about a half hour every Sunday. It really gives me time to sort of really work the text and you know, like a diamond, just turn and look at different facets of it with the people. So I think, first of all, the length is a little bit of an issue that we need to look at in the church and maybe ask the people of God to kind of work with us and maybe spending a little more time, you know, with the sacred text. So that's, I think, the first thing they do well. They preach right out of the text and they spend a little more time with it. They're very creative and stories and illustrations, and are really applying it, you know, to daily life. And I think these are the things that people are, at least those who leave, are hungering for. And there's just no reason why we can't do more of that, I think, in the Catholic Church.
And I would tend to agree. And coming from an evangelical background myself and living in the Bible Belt to boot, you know, I kind of got a double dose of that evangelical art of the sermon, I guess they call it. It wouldn't be a homily in the evangelical tradition. But they do have to sort of channel their desire for tangibility through the art of preaching, because they don't have tangibility in things like the sacraments. But really, we have such an opportunity as Catholics to explore so many tangible aspects of our faith, since it is so incarnational, and that can really extend to the homily.
Yes. Yes, I agree, I preach. I always try to help people to connect the dots between the sacred text of Scripture and what we're doing in the liturgy. You know, we're such a biblical faith. I mean, I think we've sometimes been allowed, you know, a lot of people to say that we weren't, but so much of our liturgy is right there in the Scripture. All of the, like right now, you know, we're going through John 6, which is just a great treatise on the Eucharist, and wow, you know, what a great opportunity to really break open that Word for people and just show, you know, the emphatic teaching that Jesus gives and really connect it to our sacraments and to the beauty of Catholicism, which, again, sees the Word of God not just on the written pages of a book, but as celebrated in the liturgy, as experienced in creation, and just the magnificence of all the ways that God speaks to us.
Now, in your article that we're discussing this morning, you make a distinction between exhortation and preaching. Can you sort of clear that up for us?
Yeah, I think I sort of said in the little article that I wrote, you know, that I think all the sermons I ever grew up with could be summarized in basically two sentences. You know, Jesus is challenging us to do better. Well, let's try to do better. Now, please stand for the creed. And I think we're how is he challenging us to do better? Because I think what preaching does is it doesn't just say, well, we're being encouraged to try something or to do something a little better. But, you know, one of the things the evangelicals do so well is say, well, here's five steps to a healthier marriage, or here's four qualities of good discipleship. You know, they're able to really begin to kind of just show sort of how the Lord teaches, you know, step by step to do something and to really apply. He doesn't just say do better. He even teaches us how to do better, and there's certain steps. And this is where he needs to really break open this word and say, well, it looks like there's really five stages in the healing of Jairus and his daughter here, and let's follow the journey of Jairus step by step and see how that applies in our life, you know. And I'm just kind of pulling that example out of air, but you know, it's just a wonderful way of just showing in these sacred texts how there's really a process involved. And I think that's the difference between preaching and exhortation. It's not just let's try to do this, but how?
Yeah.
And does the text give us any clues as to how? Is Jesus teaching us more than just do better? And of course, he is. He's teaching us how.
And that's really something that's modeled in the church fathers, who, you know, like St. John Chrysostom and so many others, who really lived inside of a text and said, how did this happen the way it happened? Why is it described in this way? And what does that mean?
Right. And I think it's also clear to me that they probably had longer sermons in the ancient church than we do today. You know, if you read some of those ancient sermons, they weren't given in probably 7 minutes. And it's interesting, too. I've been reading some, you know, historical Catholic sermons from our own country, like Cardinal Gibbons, and it makes notes in the margin that the Cardinal spoke for just over an hour at the liturgy.
There'd be rioting in the streets after Mass.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, today with our busy Mass schedules, and some of our parishes have a lot of Masses you obviously can't spend, but clearly I think that, they were able to do that so well, the Church Fathers, and to really stay with the text and just work it and just see every implication from it, and just a wonderful, a beautiful example of preaching.
And you talk about, you know, this sort of let's just do better next time kind of tone in the homily, but can you discuss maybe some ways to use the Liturgy of the Word as a launch pad into the Liturgy of the Eucharist?
Yeah, well, this particular Sunday coming up is just a wonderful example. I mean, Jesus is teaching on the Eucharist, and I mean, the first thing, you know, and I would just kind of, you know, I'm already working on my sermon for Sunday, getting it put together, but, you know, the idea of the Lord gives this incredible teaching that I'm going to give you my flesh and my blood to eat. So there's a teaching, and this profound teaching, but then there's some real tension that builds because the people say, this is crazy. How can he give us his flesh to eat? This is absurd. This talk is hard to endure. And instead of backing down, Jesus actually intensifies it. And if you look at the Greek text, he uses words that are just downright impolite. You've got to gnaw on my flesh and devour my blood. And the people are like, man, this is crazy. So Jesus shows a tenacity. And then there's a terrible toll, you know, that people begin to walk away from and won't follow him. And finally he turns to us and he says, what about you? You know, are you going to leave me? And then to link that to the liturgy to say, don't you see the incredible beauty of when you step up today and someone says, you know, the priest says to you, the body of Christ, and you say amen. Just how incredible that is. What a moment. You see, many left him and just wouldn't believe this teaching. But you are stepping up today to say, Lord, to whom would I go? You have the words of eternal life. And to really connect it to what's happening right there in the liturgy.
Well, let's talk a little bit about those people. You know, many of us listening, including myself, are the laity. And, you know, maybe there's this tendency, you know, when the homily comes around that, oh, here's 7 minutes where I can sort of tune out or read the bulletin or do whatever until I have to stand up and say something again. How would you encourage us as the laity to better enter into what's going on during the homily?
Well, I would say that I certainly know, and I'm very sensitive as a priest when I'm preaching, as to whether or not the congregation is really with me. And in the African-American community, as you may be aware, there's a lot of responsiveness from the congregation. People will actually call out amen, or there's applause, and there's, you know, a spontaneous, you know, acclamation that sometimes occur, you know, preach, Father, something like that. But that personally helps me a great deal to know that this work of preaching isn't just a monologue. It really is a kind of a collective work that if the people are, I know, even if I'm not in an African-American setting where people are calling out responses, that I know when people, I can feel when people are praying with me, they're attentive, they're really with me, and it really helps me to preach better. So I would say that, again, to the degree that the people of God can pray for their preachers, to the degree that they can work with us in the moment, and if you feel like we're drifting or you're losing attention, say, just help them, Father. Help them, Heavenly Father. You know, get them focused. But really pray and root for us. And then outside the preaching moment, you know, to say, to encourage the priest when they've done well, but occasionally to say, you know, Father, I was a little confused about something you said, and help us. And the other final thing I will say is that in the African-American setting where I minister, people expect a good sermon. It is very clear there's a high expectation in the preaching moment. And I can't tell you how that's helped me to improve my preaching. I mean, I realize that this coming Sunday, people are going to be expecting a lot. And that motivates me. To them, the preaching moment is important. They really are waiting for it. They're ready. They're open to be taught, and they're expecting a lot. And that is amazingly helpful. And I think if we priests know that the people of God are not only supporting us but also expecting a lot from us, we're going to be more motivated.
Yeah, high expectations usually help everybody involved. Monsignor Charles Pope, we've linked your article about Catholic preaching on our blog, sunrisemorningshow.com. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you.
All right, it's 51:52 now past the hour, and in just a moment we're going to head over to Milford and speak with Father Michael Cordier. They have their parish festival coming up at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. That's next on the Sunrise Morning Show.
In convoking a year for priests, Pope Benedict has set aside a time of great spiritual growth not only for our priests, but also for our laity to understand.